We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Dr. Paul Voller from the University of Minnesota is with us here from the Carlson School and the Moody Chair in Law and Business, I might add, too. Paul, how are you?
I am doing great on a day like today. How can you miss?
Dr. Voller, I did mention I'd ask you about this, and that's what's going on with Apple and the lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is one of the interesting instances where law and business really go hand in hand and get to wear both the hats at the law school and the business school. So it's an interesting decision. Came out this week 5-4. So that meant that the justices were split, but not in the way you would think. The case is about antitrust. It's about individuals who are buying iPhones who think that they're paying too high a price for it. And that the reason for that is not because of the phones themselves, but because of the applications, the apps that are on that phone that help it, the iPhone, to be so much more than just a way to call somebody up. The idea is that Apple is constraining the way that the app developers can use their applications with other phone makers. It's also constraining the way that they can price that. And even they have fees. It's like joining an initiation fee to get in there. All these things are constraints on trade. They're forms of monopolization. Here's the always been the big glitch that Apple said, you know, this may or may not be going out, but you can't sue us, you iPhone makers, because it's not that you're buying a phone from us, you buy from a retailer. And under traditional antitrust law, you know, if once you're separated by 1 or 2 degrees from the actual manufacturer, then you're really your beef is with the individual you bought it from directly. So the court had to say, you know, do we give standing to these individuals who are paying too much? Possibly. And the court came down 5-4 saying yes, because while they bought the phone from a retailer that's separated from Apple, they bought the apps directly from Apple. And so as a kind of a different end run around for it, here's what's interesting about it, Dave. In the majority, the opinion was written by our newest justice, Brett Kavanaugh, somebody who was nominated in part because the implication would be more pro-business. Joining the majority was also another Trump appointee, Neil Gorsuch. So we have this interesting combination of individuals who aren't kind of living up to whatever their stereotypical background was for it. This is interesting also because it makes us think about how sometimes presidents, when they choose justices, they don't turn out to be like they thought. They once asked Eisenhower if he made any mistakes when he was up there at the White House. He said, I made two, and they're both sitting on the Supreme Court. It was Potter Stewart and William Brennan. So I think we'll find out with more cases coming up, especially abortion cases, whether the justices are performed to what we predict. But there are really always these interesting question marks that come once you put on the robe, once you become, you know, in that position, you change perhaps. And this may be a case that tells us something about the way they might change.
Yeah, really interesting. Paul, another thing that's interesting to me is I was talking with our Attorney General Keith Ellison on Monday or Tuesday about this lawsuit against these generic drug manufacturers.
That's right. That's another big development this week. It's another antitrust case, and Minnesota's joined 43 other states in it. They're going after the generic drug makers. Now, some of those are names we know, like Novartis or Sandoz. Others are ones that we may be less aware of, the Israel-based Teva. What is common about them all is they make medicines that have gone off patent. You know, albuterol, which is something if you're an asthmatic sufferer, then you use that to kind of open up and dilate the bronchia. Other types of drugs that we depend on, they're just not necessarily under patent protection. The idea is that this was a classic case of price fixing and region cutting up. You know, you'd go golfing together and kind of say, you take North America, I'll take South America. Let's call the whole thing off kind of thing. And the states will have none of it. And I think this is what we're going to find out is this is part of a broader investigation by state's attorney generals and by our federal attorney general looking at issues where, you know, how do we explain the rise in generic prices of drugs? We need to bring these things down because of the cost of healthcare. This is one approach. It'll be really interesting to see what happens now that the suit is afoot and the investigation, the discovery's begun.
I'm guessing most of us, there's not many that haven't heard of the popular herbicide known as Roundup.
This is another really interesting lawsuit that's going on. It's a series of little lawsuits, but might culminate in a big national lawsuit. Roundup, of course, was made by Monsanto, developed in the late 1970s. Monsanto last year was bought by Bayer for billions of dollars, the German drugs manufacturer. And when they bought it, they bought all the liabilities that went with it as well. Now what's happening is we have over 10,000 individual lawsuits against Monsanto Bayer for exposure that allegedly caused cancers. There's a case just recently involving a couple of those, in California. The husband was a groundskeeper and was exposed to Roundup in the course of his work. They just got a $2 billion jury verdict. This is amazing, and the numbers. And this can be a real threat to Bayer Monsanto. Here's what I think is going to happen. You know, class actions. We talk about how plaintiffs form them so they can have leverage against defendants. Well, defenses, they can also organize class actions to essentially consolidate all the different individual cases into one big one and get rid of it, resolve it all. I think we're going to see that in the next year because these cases are kind of a drip, drip, drip of money and terribly bad publicity for the company. Bayer Monsanto needs to move ahead with this. I think this is the kind of thing we'll see settled, like with asbestos and the like that we saw in the 70s and 80s. But it's going to be a lot of money for them to settle it.
Is there any way to summarize your thoughts on the tariff talk between China and the U.S.?
You know, how much more do our Minnesota farmers have to suffer in order to understand that tariffs are the wrong answer to the right question? The right question is, how do we make our Minnesota and U.S. manufacturers and our farmers more competitive in the world markets? Some don't need it. Our farmers are plenty competitive for it. Others, there are ways for us to target productivity. There are other ways for us to open up markets short of tariffs. Tariffs is like taking a baseball bat where you want a surgeon's scalpel for this, Dave. And so I think what you see at the latest rounds is we're seeing how we're having these differential impacts. There may be some beneficiaries for it, maybe in a steel plant in Ohio, maybe another kind of manufacturers for it. But our farmers in Minnesota, our soybean farmers, are looking at losses of around $2.50 a bushel. That's hundreds of millions of dollars in lost farm income. This is the wrong way to do things.
Thursday night, 6 o'clock here on WCCO, Women in the Boardroom.
Right. I'm really looking forward to this. You know, we had a great conversation yesterday with some outstanding panelists coming from the Minnesota business community and academic community for it. You've talked a little bit about it earlier this morning. This is really an hour conversation for everyone in the Twin Cities area who's interested in the next generation of business leaders for it. I think this goes far beyond what it means for gender diversity and openness. This is about competitiveness for our Minnesota businesses locally, nationally, and internationally. Listen in.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.